Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, July 30th, and it's 1:30. This is Talk on the Rock, and I'm your host, Colette Czarnecki. Exciting news happened last week where Annan Wildlife Observatory launched two live cameras where people from all over the globe can take a peek at the bears and other wildlife. With us today, we have Brian Reggiani, who is the University of Alaska Fairbanks Associate Director for Upward Bound. And Upward Bound works closely with T3 Alliance, which is a STEM training program for high school students. And also with us today are some of the 14 Wrangell High School students, three of the 14 students, who are part of T3. They planned and put in the live cams. The whole project is also a collaboration with the U.S. Forest Service. And so we're going to find out what it was like for the people here representing T3 Alliance to plan and install the cameras. You can call in to ask a question. The number to KSTK is 874-2345. How's everybody doing today?
We're doing great.
Really excited to be here.
Yeah, thanks so much for coming in. So before we get into this, let's introduce the T3 students so everybody knows what your voice sounds like. Go ahead and say what your grade is, too.
I'm Annika, and I'm a senior in high school.
My name is Andre, and I'm a sophomore in high school.
I'm Ander, and I'm also a senior in high school.
Awesome. And why did you all decide to join T3 Alliance?
I decided to join T3 Alliance because it was one of the few clubs in Wrangell that aligned with a lot of my tech and computer science-based interests.
I joined T3 because I saw all the really cool stuff my brother had been doing with Brian and saw the opportunities that were available through it and was really excited.
I joined mostly because majority of my friends were a part of it, and they were also telling me about the great benefits that it offers for like college and knowledge and everything like that. So that's why I joined.
Awesome. Great. Thanks. And Brian, could you discuss how the collaboration between T3 and the Forest Service for the Annan Project even came about?
Oh my goodness. Over the last few years, we've been working with Tori Hauser and back in 2021, we hosted a little local summer program in Wrangell, and that was actually the first time I got to visit. And Brian Ashton, who's a big community supporter of our program, kind of introduced me to some of the key players around town. And one of the things we were looking for is people to help out. And he introduced me to Tori. And over the years, we've had lots of little projects working for the Forest Service. We've done a lot of drone mapping, cabin designing, lots of trail work. If you've ever been on Google Street View, you might have noticed that all of the community of Wrangell is mapped with 360 photos. So there's been a lot of collaborations between T3 and the Forest Service over the years that have slowly ramped up to this huge, huge collaboration that we're currently working on.
Awesome. And speaking of the maps, I learned one of the students who was drone, it was on Google, it had a lot of hits, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. So that was one project that we didn't think too much about. You know, that was Killian Booker, who was riding his bicycle around with his GoPro strapped to his helmet. And that was amazing. It was one of the easier projects. But then last spring, I got an email that said, "Congratulations, you're one of the top contributors to Google." And I was like, "What? What is this all about?" And right now we have over 1.2 million views on the Google Street View of the streets of Wrangell, which is pretty amazing. And we've also worked on some of the trails around here, so people can check out what Wrangell's like before they visit.
Yeah, and also the cabin, Little Lakes Cabin, right?
Yeah, that was really exciting. We did some cabin designing. We got to, over the years, we've been to quite a few of the different Forest Service cabins. And so last year, Tori asked us if we'd like to help design a new cabin that's getting put in out at Little Lakes. And it sounds like our work and our drone maps that we made were really helpful to the Forest Service. And that project was approved for funding, and they're going to start that project this upcoming year. So we'll have a new cabin on the island.
It's very exciting. Really cool. So, okay, back to Annan. T3 students, any of you, will you walk us through the beginning stages of the planning?
Sure. So the project really started back in December of 2023 when we started working with the Forest Service, writing up a grant, basically detailing, here's the work we're going to do and why, here's our timeline for doing it, figuring out budget issues, stuff like that. But because of, we had some challenges that led to, we could only buy the equipment, I think, in May. So up until then, we were planning and prototyping stuff like the underwater camera, but we only got in full swing around May, June, right? So it was a bit of a challenge figuring it all that out.
And what was it like, you know, planning? What was it like?
So planning is a wee bit of a difficult thing for especially Annan, because our maps of Annan aren't particularly up to date in how the rivers look. And because it's so far away from Wrangell, like, I know we're a small island, but still having it be only accessible by boat or small aircraft and being up a large trail, it's a little bit hard to plan for stuff like that. So a lot of what we had to do was go up there, and we had to be physically in the area. So we probably had pre-installation, we probably had about 5 trips up to Annan just to get good overviews of what the area is like, plans to get how to get equipment in and out, people, how to get the people in and out, and how to even stay there for the installation week because the cabin was being constructed while we were up there. So it was just a fun thing. We eventually were able to work with John DeRuyter, or DeRuyter, and we were able to stay on his Bayliner, which is an amazing thing that he did for us. And that's a lot of what planning was like, just being there and being able to rapidly make decisions.
So when you say you stayed on the Bayliner, does that mean you spent the night over there?
I think a few of us spent a total of 5 or something nights over on the Bayliner
for Annan. For installation.
For the installation.
Okay. Push. Wow. Wow. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. Any other challenges? Like what equipment did you all use or is there? And
I will say that a lot of like the solar panels and the cameras, they were incredibly heavy. So we had a lovely time just trying to get them on just to the observatory with on the trail. A lot of dollying the things up, and it was nice that the Forest Service helped us out and got the solar panels there, but it was the batteries that we had to lug up ourselves. That was interesting. We each took one at a time on the dolly, and then we just took it up along with some other things. So definitely the heavy equipment was one big challenge for us when it comes to planning, and we took that in consideration.
Do you know how heavy the batteries are?
I think they're about 90 pounds each.
Oh my.
And there's 4 of them.
So the batteries were on the dolly. They were put on the dolly. But of course it's not easy because you have to get off the boat and like trudge through water a little to get to the trail,
mm-hmm.
where the dolly is probably waiting.
it was interesting.
Wow. Okay. So Brian, I understand Claire Froelich, who's with the Forest Service, met with the students, I believe, twice a week over the year. How often did you come to Wrangell? Because you do live in Fairbanks, right?
Yeah, I do. I'm based out of Fairbanks. I get to come to Wrangell 4 or 5 times a year, and that's really been ramping up with this Annan project. It's taken a lot of support. I think I've learned as much as the students during all of this process, but it's been really incredible. Every visit, I feel like I have a new mission, and we're trying to tackle one more problem that Annan throws at us. I think one of the biggest challenges is the Forest Service made it really clear that they wanted the cameras to be powered by solar power only. And so we spend a lot of this winter and spring running through all the mathematical models, calculating how much solar power capacity Southeast has. And That took a lot of work, and we crunched our numbers, recrunched them, and in the end, we're really happy. It seems like our math is paying off. The cameras are doing really good, and we've got full batteries out there while the cameras are on. So that's been pretty amazing.
Wow. Okay. Can any of you speak about, you know, how much solar Southeast gets? Like, how did you find that info?
It's been really interesting. Solar technology has really improved in the last few years. And as we were budgeting from the Ann Arbor perspective, it was kind of interesting because there were moments when we would say, oh my gosh, this will never work. And there were moments when we were really pulling our hair out saying, we need backup generators and everything. But it was curious. We got some new solar panels that are really high voltage, and we have 9 of them out there. If you've been out to the observatory in the last few weeks, you might have seen that the roof is pretty much entirely covered by these solar panels. But the technology has really improved over the years, and as we were running our calculations, we knew that we could get close, but we didn't know exactly how. And they do a lot of testing in Southeast, especially in Sitka, and a lot of partnerships with the Alaska Center for Energy and Power have actually looked at the different solar capacity in different communities in Southeast, and pretty much in the last few years, it's really become possible to have something like this out at Ann Arbor that wouldn't have been possible even 3 or 4 years ago. So that's come a long way. Starlink has also been huge. That's how we're connecting our cameras to the internet. And that's also been just a recent tech development. So feels like we're riding the wave of technology improvements, and that's really been helping getting our Ann Arbor story out there.
Yeah. And I went out with you guys, maybe March or something, and you did bring a generator. Is there a generator there now?
No, there's currently no generator. So we're able to support all of the camera operations, internet operations, and everything through 100% solar power. And it's amazing. When the sun goes down at night, that's when we start using our batteries. But then as soon as the sun comes up, our batteries charge up in the first hour of the day and stay fully topped off until the sun goes down, or at least the sun goes down enough, so like at 9 o'clock, so that the batteries aren't getting a lot of solar electricity.
Yeah, and I spoke with Tori last week. She mentioned in the winter, the cameras probably won't be on, right?
Yeah, I think we're going to bring the cameras back to town. It's just so wet out there. We want to bring everything back in heated dry storage. And we also have some work to do. We installed the system for the first time, kind of slapped it together, but there's so much that can be done to clean everything up and make sure it looks really professional.
Awesome. Great. And so, Brian, while you were visiting, what was your role here? You know, I mean, you're here right now too, so.
Yeah, I'm one of the T3 Alaska leads for Wrangell. And it's really interesting. My background is in education, and I don't necessarily have like a solar installing background or anything like that. But I think one of my skills is really to empower the students and you know, steer the conversation, ask questions that the students have to do a little bit of research on. And I would say I'm a guide and facilitator and helper, but the students do all the work ultimately.
Awesome. Yeah. And I definitely witnessed that too. So you all planned and went out to Ann Arbor before the bears came out of hibernation. You mentioned you probably visited around 4 or 5, maybe 5, 6 times or something. How was it? Like, did you see the bears while installing?
On the first few planning trips, we kind of saw nothing. We were still like worried about bear safety, of course, but we didn't really see much. But in the last few trips in June and July, it was just bears everywhere. It was really cool. Brian had come here so many times and never actually seen a bear at the observatory. So it was definitely interesting, definitely changed how it was to work out there. We really couldn't go under the deck anymore because we didn't want to, you know, hang out with the bear.
Speaking of underneath the deck, I was connecting the last piece of a PoE system to the camera, And as I was doing that, I hear a huge splash, and out of nowhere, I see my first ever brown bear with her cubs, and she's swimming, and I'm freaking out. And it was like, what the heck? This is, it came out of nowhere. And so I got out of there, and then I talked to Brian. I'm like, well, what do I do? And he's like, well, we just wait. Sue was there with her cubs for like hours. So I went back down and I finished it, and it was a very cool experience. I have a picture of me looking down where the bear is, and it was such a cool experience.
That's amazing. And yeah, so obviously you were right near the bear and you had to stop your work.
Mm-hmm.
And also, can you say where the placement of the cameras are?
So one of them is on the far... Each of them are on different sides, so you have one on the far left and one on the far right. And one's facing the bear trail, and then you have one that's facing towards the actual river.
Okay.
Both are installed on the lower photo blind out there.
Okay, and then I know construction for the spiral staircase was happening, so you all didn't go out there during that time, right?
No, we weren't allowed to.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it was kind of amazing because that made our timeline really tight.
Yep.
But
yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah. And did it make it easier to install the cameras with the staircase, or you just went underneath?
I'd say it was a lot nicer to install the cameras, because if y'all remember the old photo blind, I wouldn't feel safe installing the cameras underneath that. But now that it's new and it's so sturdy, it made it a lot nicer to install the cameras. I don't think it made it easier. It would have been the same, but it's more peace of mind.
Yeah. One thing that happened was that as the photo blind was being constructed, we took a lot of measurements and built our custom salmon camera to fit just right. And then we realized, oh no, they added a railing, which we weren't expecting, so we had built a salmon camera this spring, and that ultimately wasn't installed because the photo blind wasn't there yet. So we're going back to the drawing board with new measurements now that it's in place, and that underwater salmon camera should be installed next summer.
That's going to be pretty cool. Yeah, and okay, so the equipment, the solar panels, batteries, what else, and what were the steps with that, with installing the equipment, like first, second?
I think the first thing we did for like installing all the equipment was installing all the like subsystems that you have to have for the solar. So I was like, you can't just plug a solar panel into a battery, that would explode the battery. So you gotta have like charge controllers and inverters, so you gotta have, and there's this little thing called a shunt that just reads everything. So you just gotta give every solar subsystem wired together, and then you wire the solar to that, wire the solar to inverter to all your power out, all your power things. And then from all the power outs, you install the cameras, your networking systems, your Starlinks, your and all your fun little loads, that sort of stuff.
Yeah. And were the solar panels first, or that was what you were just saying, the sub?
We installed the charge controllers, inverters first, and then the solar panels and cabling after.
Okay, great. Awesome. Thank you. Sue, did you all watch the live stream when it was launched last Wednesday?
For sure. So Andrew and I were on the T3 summer program up in Fairbanks when, with Brian actually, when we got the news that our system was live, and it was incredible going onto there on our laptop, being able to see a bear fishing right all the way from Fairbanks, being able to control the cameras. It was definitely a really good experience.
I, for one, was in Juneau on an airplane, and I get a text from Nikolai, Andre's older brother, saying that the cameras were up. I, for one, freaked out, and I was happy. I was trying to tell Claire. I was with Claire Froelich at the time, and we were all happy, and we're like, oh, we can't wait to get home and watch it. the moment I went home, I got on my phone, I called Brian right away and say, tell me how to get these on my computer. And so I took like 10 minutes and I got them on my computer and I had them on for like the rest of the night and I was just watching. So much fun.
Yeah, I've seen it. And people who want to watch it, it's at explore.org in the Tongass National Forest section, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, if you just hop on explore.org, you'll see us on the front page right next to the Katmai Bear Cams.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, okay. I know you mentioned, Brian, the underwater camera. Where is that going to be? Like, it seems like the bear has to be right there to see the underwater, like to see the bear claw fishing for the salmon, right?
Yeah, that's the goal. There's this one fishing hole right at the base of the falls. And it seems like we're going to be able to put our camera right against the concrete of the footers of the photo blind. And there's an amazing place where fish really school up. And our favorite bear, Scuba Sue, really loves that fishing hole. So we should be able to see that, you know, a pink salmon getting caught by a bear. That'll be awesome.
That'll be really cool. So that is the underwater camera. And what any other projects in mind at Annan Falls or Annan Wildlife Observatory?
Our next vision for the Annan project is installing a new system at Upper Falls, which is half a mile maybe around the river bend upstream. And the Forest Service knows that as a really good spot to view brown bears. The thing is, it's far away enough that it'll be really challenging to get a wire from our current system all the way out there. So we have to plan to make an entirely new remote power system with its own solar panels and batteries up there is the goal right now. And this is definitely like a next year, like several year maybe, project.
Yeah, and what you all were saying is like how heavy the equipment is. What do you think? Like, how is that even, like, you'll need a dolly, but will that even be on the trail up there? Is there a trail?
Yeah, there's a bear trail up to the Upper Falls, but it's going to be a lot more challenging. One of the specific challenges is that once you go past 300 feet, your Ethernet cable doesn't work anymore. So we're going to have to probably run fiber optic cable because we'll have one transmission station at the deck. But somehow we need to support these cameras out there. And it's not something that's going to be easy. I don't know if anyone's ever done something like this before. So it'll take a lot of testing and figuring things out as we go. But yeah, I think the hardest part is going to be running that quarter, half a mile worth of cabling through our conduit so that the bears can't munch on it.
Yeah, and again, like for the fiber optic cable, the T3 students will be installing that then.
Absolutely, yeah. We're going to have to do some research, but I think we can pull it off.
That's really awesome. So looking back, could you all reflect on a valuable thing each of you learned during this part of the Annan Livestream project?
I, for one, learned that I should probably have a better knowledge of how electricity works. I for one, shocked myself pretty badly.
Oh, my goodness.
But I'm okay. But, yeah, so that's mostly what I probably should reflect on.
Did you take a break after getting shocked?
I took, like, a five-minute, like, ooh, that just happened, and then I just went back to work.
It was really funny. She told me, Brian, I just shocked myself. And I was like, no way, really?
Yeah.
And then she said, this is what I did. And I jumped into it. And then I shocked myself. So it's like, okay, we got to go drive back to the drawing board here.
Yeah. We were a little confused with the power. So I was just like touching like the ends. I touched two positive ends and somehow my body was touching some piece of metal. I'm just like, and then it just went.
Oh my goodness. And what can you just describe what that felt like?
A lot of rattling sensation up my arm.
Oof.
Yeah, thankfully we're dealing with low voltage, so it wasn't too extreme, but it was electrifying.
Yeah. Andre, do you have anything you'd like to share on a valuable thing you took from this?
Yeah, it's definitely an educational experience. it was really cool to get an insight on like the back end of how these big projects work. I think my biggest takeaway was the importance of being flexible, right? Because the timeline and idea of the project as a whole that we set up in December is completely different from what it is now. And you really have to be flexible with the constant changing expectations and deadlines and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I gotta say, my biggest takeaway is to always have a good inventory from the start. Even if you don't have a single item yet, always have a good inventory system planned out. And that'll just make life a lot easier. And I think a second thing I have is that it's an interesting to learn, because I was on the strong belief that solar panels would not have been a viable option for Annan. And now looking at our actual numbers and what power we're producing versus drawing, I didn't realize how viable solar panels would be in Southeast.
Great. And we did get a call. It's from Tori Hauser, who is the U.S. Forest Service District Ranger here. She said she's glad the T3 students are on the air right now. Yeah. Great. So when you say inventory, even if you don't have it, can you just explain that a little more? Just like is it an idea of what you need, or...
Have an idea of what you need, but also have a really dedicated system to log what you have. So even if you don't, because we were taking in so many bits and pieces from so many companies and different areas, and that came in all different times, it's really easy to lose something and not notice you don't have something that wasn't sent or you didn't grab. So then it just spirals out of control real fast. Thankfully, we were able to manage everything pretty easily, nicely, but in the future, that sort of deal.
You all, I assume, are very organized. Yeah.
Very.
Anders talking about this moment where we went to install the solar panels and realized we were missing the brackets. And so we called his dad, James Edens, and said, can you make us some angled brackets pronto? And Mike with Sunrise Aviation had to fly us. So we got a real lesson on remote logistics and installing some of these systems. So it was awesome, but definitely some big learning moments for us.
Yeah. Awesome. Great. So will you all be in T3 for the upcoming project at Annan, with the underwater camera in Upward Falls this coming year?
Absolutely.
For sure.
Yep. I'm looking forward to it.
Awesome. And is there anything else any of you would like to share about your experience?
Probably one of my favorite things was just the engineering mindset everybody had out there, bouncing ideas off each other constantly, coming up with new ideas, solutions to problems. It was really cool. Nice.
It was interesting to just be there and just like... Brian was able to find us all jobs and be a part of it, and no one was left in the corner, like, had nothing to do. We all had something, and it was really nice and refreshing, because it was dawning on me, like, I've never done this stuff before. I don't know what I could do, but Brian really helped me, and he just guided me, and he just told me what to do, and I did it, and it was really fun.
Awesome. Thank you.
And it's taken a community. The students have been awesome. The Forest Service has been awesome. But it's amazing to see just how many people have been able to lean in and help make this an awesome experience. And we had a presentation yesterday, which went really well. The community showed up to support us. And it's just been really, really cool.
Yeah. Really exciting. Cool. Well, thanks so much for coming in. That was Brian Reggiani, who is the University of Alaska Fairbanks Associate a Director for Upward Bound, which works closely with T3 Alliance. And we have three T3 Alliance students here, which is Annika, Andre, and Ander. Thanks so much for coming in.